And that would mean that it is time for our regular community conversation with Fireman Kenny.
Well, good morning, Rick, and good morning, all the listeners. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. And as always, I've got my monthly shout-outs. So today is retired Captain John Kutz's 60th birthday. John was a paid-on-call firefighter before he was hired full-time in 1989 and retired as the captain of maintenance in 2015. So if you see John out and about today, make sure to wish that big lug a happy birthday. Thank you to technical education instructor Mike Blazkowski from West Bend East High School for his assistance with designing the logo for the Washington County Injury Prevention Coalition. Mike assigned his students the task of designing the logo. Thank you to the students for their submissions for consideration. The winning logo was designed by West Bend West High School junior Gabriel Todd. Be sure to like the Washington County Injury Prevention Coalition on Facebook. Go ahead, Rick.
I didn't see what the final version looked like. I saw the ones there were choices of, but I don't think I saw the final.
Oh yeah, it was mixed in there. That was the first one, so that's the one that looked like the Band-Aid. So he is he's on there on the West Bend Fire Department Facebook page. So it's the one that has Washington County on top, a Band-Aid with a heart and a EKG in the middle, and then Injury Prevention Coalition on the bottom.
That looked pretty cool.
Yeah. There was a lot of great designs. So what we'd submitted was we kind of gave them guidance on other injury prevention coalition logos. So a lot of them did kind of like the shields and everything like that. So we ended up deciding that the Band-Aid was the best visual for prevention of injuries, just because, again, that Injury Prevention Coalition is all about stopping injuries and doing whatever we can to determine trends and then collaborate with each other to try to get the message out. So, like, let's say those, what are they called, those one-wheel scooter things. I can't remember what they're called, but there's people getting injured on those. So once we get the Injury Prevention Coalition really kind of up and running, thanks to Ryan Hetzel from Hetzel Law Office, who really spearheaded that and got it back up and running, and then we'll be able to get those messages out and have the on the Facebook page, it'll be really visually appealing with that logo on there as well.
Oh, all right. All right. So do we have some sprinkler saves this month?
We do. So we have our monthly sprinkler saves, or also known as fires you never hear about, because there's no news in something that was stopped from happening. And as I pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues-paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association, www.nfsa.org. Be sure to follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So our first one, as reported by the Ripon Press, on Wednesday, March 10th, the Ripon Area Fire District responded to Alliance Laundry Systems for the report of smoke in the building. According to Alliance Laundry Public Relations Manager Randy Radke, there was a fire in a compressor in the building adjacent to the production facility. Radke said the fire was contained to the compressor unit, but smoke traveled into the main building due to shared ducting and ventilation. Upon arrival, Ripon Fire Department Deputy Chief Mark Sable noted firefighters found the building sprinkler system had activated. In addition to using water, firefighters used dry chemicals because it was an oil and paper fire inside the compressor, Sable said. Mm. By 9:20 p.m., he added that the fire district had extinguished the blaze. The Ripon Area Fire District has not determined the cause of the fire yet, but it remains under investigation.
All right.
Our second one, as reported by Channel 3000, firefighters are crediting automatic sprinklers installed in an apartment on Madison's Near East Side with quickly extinguishing a kitchen fire before it could spread any further. Authorities said occupants of the apartment building in the 800 block of Williamson Street were evacuating the building as firefighters arrived just before 6 p.m. on Tuesday, March 23rd. When crews entered the building and made it to the second floor where the fire initially broke out, they found an automatic sprinkler flowing but no active fire. Crews then shut off the sprinkler system and we worked to remove water from the unit. The occupant of the unit where the fire started told firefighters they were heating up a butane-powered hot pot when flames began coming from the butane bottle rather than the burner. The occupant threw water on the flames, which caused a flare-up that triggered the sprinkler. The sprinkler put out the fire before firefighters arrived. No one was injured in the incident, according to fire officials. What? So again, this is one of those things where you may not want to burn these things in your home, and always remember that flammable liquids are lighter than water. They will float on the water and continue to burn.
What's a butane-powered hot pot? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, that's so they've got they're like a flame kind of thing, almost like a candle kind of thing, like a lantern kind of thing going. So that way, I think it was used to heat up something as well. So it'd be like those sterno things that have the glass balls, and then you put something on top of it. So I'm pretty sure that's what that is.
Okay,
but again, anything that you're using flammable liquids should not be burned inside. It should never be burned in a home, a business, whatever have you. Those are probably meant for outdoor use.
Gotcha. All right. And then this last one is actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, so people have been asking about these, but I've never seen one in use. So while not a sprinkler save, I do want to highlight this alternative extinguishing method. On Saturday, March 20th at 3:17 p.m., the West Bend Fire Department was dispatched to ventilate smoke out of an apartment in the 800 block of Eastern Avenue. The cause of the fire was a gas stovetop burner that was accidentally turned on and at the same time had plastic items stored on top of the stove. After leaving the kitchen, the occupant of the apartment went to a bedroom and then heard a poof sound. That poof sound was the activation of a stovetop fire stop fire suppression device. These devices were installed by the apartment complex several years ago. The West Bend Fire Department cannot endorse one product over another, but we just want to report this fire suppression to highlight the fact that this particular stovetop fire stop did work in an unsprinklered residential occupancy. Also, we would like to point out that people should never store anything on or around the stove. This is a prime example where items stored on top of the oven started on fire because of an accidental ignition of a stove burner. Were it not for the early suppression of the fire by this particular product, this fire would have been much worse and could have caused greater property damage, injuries, and deaths if it had not been suppressed by the stovetop fire stop. For more information on this product, you can visit stovetopfirestop.com. They also have a Facebook page, and you can see some videos and pictures on that page.
So it kind of goes up in the hood over your stove? Is that where it goes?
Yeah, so they actually sell them in pairs. So there's two of them that go on each side over the left and right burners. So then there's a wick on them. So they actually don't do any ignition until the fire actually gets up and starts the wick. And then once the wick starts on fire, it kind of explodes and sends the equivalent of fire extinguisher powder onto the fire below.
Sounds like kind of something in Wild Wild West to me, but that's
just it is
me.
Interesting because, again, I've had people ask about these, and I've never seen it in use. And so Battalion Chief Jeff Gustafson was the incident commander for that scene, and he pushed the crews aside and said, I got to get a picture. Kenny's going to love this. And so that actually ended up on our Facebook page. And it is a good example. And not only, I didn't realize, too, that those have an expiration date. So these were bought quite a long time ago, and they were past their expiration date and still worked to suppress the fire. So again, we can't endorse the product. We cannot do any endorsements, just saying that in this instance, that product did do as it was supposed to work.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So. Yeah, it's kind of like the fire extinguisher bombs that we use. So we have plastic wrap, fire extinguisher kind of material that, like, let's say if we have a chimney fire, so we'll go up to the roof and then just dump that down in the chimney and it'll explode and put out the chimney fire with the fire extinguisher materials.
Right, right. Okay. All right. Well, this is a good time to recognize some people who work pretty hard in our community.
Exactly. So National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week is April 11th to the 17th. So every year during the second week of April, the telecommunications personnel in the public safety community are honored. This week-long event, initially set up in 1981 by Patricia Anderson of the Contra Costa County Sheriff's Office in California, is a time to celebrate and thank those who dedicate their lives to serving the public. It is a week that should be set aside so everyone can be made aware of their hard work and dedication. We encourage all of you to celebrate and honor yourselves, your coworkers, your bosses, and your employees. So this is for the public safety telecommunicators. Host a party, reach out to your local media and public officials, or launch an awards program. Use the tools and suggestions on the blog on the NPTSW website to celebrate the colleagues of the public safety telecommunicators. Thank you again to all the public safety telecommunicators for all the sacrifices you make to create a better and safer world for the public. Your commitment to your profession is appreciated by all of the APCO International, the public safety communications community, and the citizens you serve. So again, we've got public safety telecommunicators, and I was a 911 dispatcher for a while before I got hired by the West Bend Fire Department. So working nights, weekends, holidays, coming in and working at 4 a.m., 4 a.m. to 4 p.m., all sorts of stuff just because they're short-staffed. So thank you to the West Bend Police Department, 911 dispatchers for the work they do, as well as the dispatchers from the Washington County Sheriff's Department. They are the unsung heroes of each and every call for service. They have thankless jobs and oftentimes have no closure for the incidents. So thank you to every 911 dispatcher for what you do. Your efforts and dedication don't go unnoticed by the police officers, firefighters, EMTs, and paramedics who you dispatch on those calls. Go ahead, Rick.
You should also add to that list scanner heads like Rick.
Right, exactly. Well, because they keep it interesting, and they keep it professional, and there's times when you want to say something on the air when you get either somebody who is not so nice on the other end of the radio, and the dispatchers usually just take it in stride. So again, National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, April 11th to 17th. So be sure to celebrate our public safety dispatchers who are out there.
I tell you, I have the utmost respect for those folks from, you know, as I listen and I hear things, you know, I'm in here by about 1:30 in the morning these days. So I'm hearing the interesting overnight calls a lot of times, and just how calm and collected they are with passing along the information and with just, you know, being ready. It seems like anticipating, almost like Radar O'Reilly, anticipating what the person they're dispatching is going to need next.
Right. And so they're dealing constantly with incomplete information because usually the person that's calling is calling on their worst day possible. So then the dispatcher has to not only try to get all the information from somebody who is experiencing this very bad event and trying to keep them calm, so that way they can get all of the information that's needed, dispatch all the units that are needed, keep the people on the line to get additional information. So there's sometimes when people are not thinking clearly, and again, like in our minds, we may think something is happening when something else is kind of happening. So we always have to make sure that that the public safety dispatchers during the call are trying to ask the appropriate questions, and not only ask the appropriate questions, but ask it more than once. So that way they can clarify exactly what's going on the other end of that line.
Right. Absolutely. And we should also mention that it is policy that if there is a 911 call that someone responds.
Yes. So if you dial 911 accidentally from your phone, they will try to make contact with you. They can ping that phone, and they will then send somebody just to clarify that everything is there's nothing going on that would be incorrect. Because sometimes there are people, and I just saw the video on this the other day, a lady called 911 and was ordering a pizza because that was code for something going wrong. The dispatcher initially didn't quite catch on the first try, and then when she said, nope, I really need to order a pizza, And then he caught on, and they were able to send help and rescue this person from whatever was going on at the time.
And don't take it out on the dispatcher if you when they say you're going to have to wait because we're going to send somebody to check on things.
Yeah, be nice to our dispatchers. Our dispatchers, so most of the 911 calls from cell phones go to the sheriff's department. And so between West Bend dispatchers and Washington County Sheriff's Department dispatchers, they're really great people. They're just trying to do a job. They're trying to protect as many people as possible. So we have, what I think, in the county, 120,000 people that live here, plus people that are visiting. They've got a lot of people to take care of. Just if you accidentally dial 911 and they're going to send someone over, just be calm, cool, collected. Be nice to our dispatchers. The officer's going to show up, just going to take your name and go, yep, everything good, and then they're going to be on their way. So, and because there's a lot of other calls that are going on at the same time, there's a lot. This county's growing, the city's growing, and there ends up a lot more things going on at any given time. They just want to move on to the next thing. They just want to make sure that you're safe. So just be nice to our dispatchers.
There we go. All right. April is also Distracted Driving Awareness Month.
Yep, so the National Safety Council has designated April as Distracted Driving Awareness Month. More than 700 injury crashes involve distracted driving on a typical day in the U.S. While the percentage of drivers using handheld devices has decreased in recent years, many experts feel the use of distracting devices is significantly undercounted. Fact is, drivers frequently lose focus of the road. Their eyes drift and their minds wander as they connect on cell phones or other technologies built into vehicle dashboards. Studies indicate drivers can be distracted long after programming a GPS device or sending a text via a voice command system. Long enough to miss a stop sign or a pedestrian? You bet. At 25 miles per hour, you can travel the length of more than one football field in 10 seconds. What else could you miss during this time? Well, the National Safety Council wants to bring attention to the concept of inattention blindness, defined as the failure to notice a visible hazard because your attention is focused elsewhere. The phenomenon occurs regularly when drivers are cognitively distracted. Here's an example. Let's say a driver is using voice commands to order takeout food. The driver's brain becomes lost in that order, trying to decide if they want thin or thick crust pizza. Instead of focusing on what's ahead, the driver can miss up to half of what is in his or her driving environment, including slow or stop vehicles up ahead. This behavior can have deadly consequences. In America, 8 people die every day in distracted driving crashes.
Got to witness almost one on Saturday. Went out to see Mom at the nursing home for Easter, did the family thing. And coming back, I'm on the interstate by the Dells, shockingly enough. I noticed this Jeep up ahead of me that seems to be kind of having difficulty maintaining a lane. And I caught up to the guy, and here he is. He's got his seat back. This is the driver. He's got his seat back, and he's got his screen in the middle of the steering wheel, like he's, you know, playing a game as he's driving down the road.
I can't think of anything more dangerous. So, again, you have to make sure that you are paying attention to the road and not paying attention to a video, a game, or anything else that could be distracting.
And I'd have called him in, except for the fact that that he jumped off at the next exit before I could get his plate.
Oh, yeah. And that happens every day, all day. You see people who are on their phones, on other devices that shouldn't be on those things. They should be paying attention to the road. And, you know, they may not even get a ticket, but even if you report those people and they at least get a warning, that should be some sort of indicator to them that they need to stop that behavior and change what they do when they're driving.
Absolutely. And that doesn't even count the ones in the construction zones.
Exactly, right. And they may not even know they're in a construction zone because they were on their phone, and for now three football fields later, all of a sudden they're in the construction zone, and the car in front of them had slowed down 20 miles per hour less, and they didn't even realize it. So, again, you got to make sure you're paying attention when you are out and about in your vehicle. You're driving a 2,000-pound missile, so you need to be aware of what kind of damage you can do while you're driving.
They were doing work on 45 when I came in this morning. I crossed across on Decorah and saw they were working down in this neck of the woods today.
Yeah, I think everybody has to be aware that there are going to be some closures of some of the on-ramps over the next few weeks. So I do have the list. I just don't have it in front of me. But just be aware that some of the on-ramps will be closed for overnight and sometimes during the day in the next few weeks.
Absolutely.
I think 45, Highway D southbound to 45 is going to be closed shortly for a couple of days, I believe. I have to look at that list again.
Okay. All right. But again, people just, you know, drivers seem to think that once they're once they're behind the wheel, you know, it's a good time to, you know, I don't know, put on makeup, that kind of stuff, you know.
Right. Or anything. So, like, let's say talking on their phone. So research shows just listening to a cell phone conversation decreases brain activity associated with driving by more than one third, leading to safety performance issues such as inability to react quickly in congested driving zones. This would be the equivalent of driving blindfolded. Of course, using electronics is not the only way drivers can be distracted. Some examples, talking or texting on the phone, eating or drinking, applying makeup or shaving, reading a newspaper or book. No, don't do that. Watching a video, that's even worse. Programming a GPS. So do your programming of your GPS before you get into the vehicle.
Absolutely.
All of these examples fit under one of the following distraction categories: visual, manual, which is taking the hand off the wheel, or cognitive, taking your mind off driving. All can raise safety risks, not only for drivers, but for those sharing the road around them. Hands-free devices may be marginally safer than handheld ones, but the safest choice of all is not using your cell phone or other technology while you are driving. So in summary, the human brain cannot handle two thinking tasks at the same time, such as driving and talking on the phone. Your brain toggles quickly between these two tasks. When driving, this can slow reaction time and cause crashes. Be safe by silencing your phone, programming your GPS, and setting up your radio or music while you are still parked. Your life is much more valuable than any cell phone call, text, or playlist. Let's get on board with traffic safety. Take the pledge to drive distraction-free from the National Safety Council at nsc.org/pledge.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, it's crazy what people think they can be doing while they're driving, you know.
Yeah, and what I mean, it's been happening for years, but getting worse just because I think because cars have become safer when you get into an accident, people disregard how truly injured you could become or how much you could injure or kill someone else. And so you need to really be safe on the road and not use these devices and just concentrate on driving. Getting from point A to point B is your main concern, to be doing it safely.
Here's something else. You're not that good a driver.
Right. There's a lot of people who may think they're Mario Andretti, but they are not that good on the road.
So, hey, you want to talk just for a bit about wildfires? Boy, we've got some potential for some dangerous stuff out there.
So it's pretty dry out there. If you look on the DNR website, the wildfire index is very high. So until we get rains, please refrain from any outdoor burning. That even includes in your yards with the fire pits and everything else like that. just don't do any outdoor burning right now. The fire in Menominee Falls, so we actually sent people to Menominee Falls as well. So we had two people in a water tender. Our 3,500-gallon water tender was down in the Menominee Falls for that fire. Please refrain from burning until conditions improve. So don't do any outdoor burning whatsoever. For those of you who are smokers and think that the world is your ashtray, don't dump your lit cigarettes out of your cars. Please don't do that. Lit cigarette can start the dry tinder on fire. Anything that you have out there that's burning, do not do anything as far as burning is concerned until conditions improved.
And
because actually we have, this is early yet, but Wildfire Community Preparedness Day is Saturday, May 1st, so we're going to be preparing for that. But just do us a favor and do not burn anything else outdoors until conditions improve.
Right, because rain will help, but really until we get in fresh, new, green vegetation, there's a danger.
Yes, and so you can check the DNR's website daily. Just enter Wisconsin DNR fire danger and into a browser, and you'll end up going to the DNR website. That'll give you the map. So again, everything in the state right now is in the orange, which is in the very high category. Any fires that'll start outdoors will spread very quickly.
The other thing is, if you see a fire in a field and you don't see anybody around it, don't try to put it out yourself. Call 911.
Yeah, exactly, because those fires will spread pretty quickly. The fires are going to move very quickly in every direction. So make sure that you call 911, get help coming, because, again, these fires grow out of control very fast. So the fire in Menominee Falls is a prime example. You've got an area that is mostly suburban with some wetland areas and stuff in the middle. They had fire departments from five counties helping out suppress this fire. So you really do need, as soon as you see it, you need to call 911 to get that fire under control as soon as possible, because it will grow every moment that fire is burning. It's going to grow out of control even faster. And it can take property, it can injure people, and it can kill people. So make sure that you, if you see anything whatsoever, report it as soon as possible.
I don't know if you saw this or not. They had a big fire in La Crosse on Friday evening at a scrapyard.
I heard about it, but I haven't seen anything.
They had apparently 100 junk cars that had ended up being on fire at one point. They used a 500,000 gallons of water to put it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so because the interiors of those cars, like I've talked about, the foam that's in the seats is basically just solid gasoline. Once you have a number of cars that are stacked together, it's going to take off very quickly. It's going to burn very hot. It's going to burn very fast, and it's going to take a lot of water to suppress that fire for the cooling effect of the water to put that fire out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So fortunately, nobody hurt there. They're trying to figure out what caused that one.
Yeah, hopefully they'll be able to figure that out. And again, every time we're doing cause or origin and cause investigation, we're trying to figure out how a fire started so we can get the message out to try to keep those fires from occurring again. So again, everybody, everything I've just talked about, all the listeners, and I continue to see you in public, and you keep telling me everything's common sense. But again, common sense is not common to everybody. And again, I have to tell people not to burn because there's people out there. So all the listeners that I talk to, you all know not to burn. What you need to do is help me out. Tell the people who say, I can just burn, it's fine, I can do whatever I want. Tell them to please not do it, because common sense isn't common to everybody. Everybody thinks, it's not going to happen to me. Well, guess what? It happens every day. Every day somewhere in the U.S. or somewhere in the world, everything I talk about happens. That's why I have to talk about it. So, again, like let's say even simple little things. So I've been doing a lot more smoke alarm installs, making sure because of the UL Fire Safety Research Institute's Close Before You Doze program, installing smoke alarms inside each sleeping area and outside each sleeping area. So again, making sure that you're aware of those things and why we make sure that we get the message out. And for those of you who need smoke alarms in your home, you can call my office, 262-335-5055, and we can set up an appointment and I can install smoke alarms in your home. And again, that's just another risk reduction effort that the West Bend Fire Department takes to make sure that people are not trapped in home fires when they occur.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we talked about a couple of things being observed in April, but there are a few more.
Yeah, so we've got, I missed one because I don't know why they did it in April, but it's National Carbon Monoxide Awareness Month. So the National Carbon Monoxide Awareness Association has made April Carbon Monoxide Awareness Month. This is, I think it's fairly new. I think we're going to have some conversations with them to see if we can move that to January when there's more issues with carbon monoxide. But just look for some posts on that. You can join for free the National Carbon Monoxide Awareness Association. I believe it's ncoaa.org. Also for April, we've got National Alcohol Awareness Month, National Autism Awareness Month, National Donate Life Awareness Month. It's National Safe Digging Month, so be sure to dial 811 before you start doing any digging. National Public Health Week is April 5th to the 11th. National Window Safety Week is April 4th to the 10th. And National Work Zone Awareness Week is April 20th to the 24th.
Maybe I'll get somebody on to talk about that. Maybe we'll get somebody from the sheriff's office or something to talk about that. But and then we've got a lot of things going on, and May seems to be like the busiest month for things.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to, because I can't talk about all these things in the month, so we're going to have to do some scheduling with people to talk about all the things for May. So we've got Stroke Awareness Month, who will probably end up with someone from Fraydert again. So Sam Nolan is no longer the stroke coordinator, but if they don't have that position filled, she said she'd be more than willing to come on and talk about that. Trauma Awareness Month, so we'll get Ginger from Fraydert, who is the trauma coordinator. Building Safety Month, Water Safety Month, so again, we'll have Julie Hefter from the Association of Aquatic Professionals on in May. National Electrical Safety Month, Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month, National Safety Stand Down to Prevent Workplace Falls is May 3rd to the 7th. Teacher Appreciation Week is May 3rd to the 7th. So make sure we appreciate all of our teachers in the West Bend School District as well as the private schools in the area. Arson Awareness Week is May 2nd to the 8th. So we'll have somebody from the State Fire Marshal's Office come on again on WIBD talking again. National Police Week is May 9th to the 15th, so we'll have to celebrate our police officers. Again, they're all sad because they failed the fire test and had to become police officers, so we'll have to make sure we give them something to celebrate during National Police Week.
We'll take them donuts.
Now that Dunkin' Donuts is in town, we have a lot more choices to take them donuts for. Emergency Medical Services Week. So that's, other than Fire Prevention Week, our other big week in the West Bend Fire Department is Emergency Medical Services Week. That'll be May 16th to the 22nd. That same week is also Home Fire Sprinkler Week. So we can get Marty King from the National Fire Sprinkler Association on to talk about Home Fire Sprinkler Week. And National Safe Boating Week, which is May 22nd to the 28th.
Right before Memorial Day.
Exactly. That falls. So that actually, I want to say that most of the weeks go like usually Sunday to Saturday or Monday through Friday. This, I think, is like a 10-day one where it starts on that Friday and ends the following Sunday. So they end up with a lot of days to celebrate National Safe Boating Week.
Ah, all right. All right. Fireman Kenny with us this morning here on WIBD. And, hey, next time you go to Ybor City, remind me, because I've got a buddy who lives down there. He could have probably got you some comp stuff at the bar.
Right. So thanks to everybody who follows my personal Facebook page. So every April 1st, I have my annual trip It only lasts on April 1st. So, yeah, this year, my April 1st, wink, wink, trip, we went to Tampa, Florida. Had a great time with all the people that we spent with, wink, wink, in Florida on April 1st. So be sure to follow that my trips every April 1st. It's always exciting to see where we end up.
You know, you and I could take an April 1st trip sometime.
Yeah, you'll have to come next year on our April 1st trip. So I'll extend the invite to you, and then wherever we decide to go for the annual April 1st trip, you can check in with. Well, I'll check you in with us wherever we end up.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, Kenny.
Yep, KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's returning to quarters.